That story there from the risen is all about the, I'm trying to think what he's called again, the tribune. He's called the tribune. He then, this guy who they're talking about, he's followed the story of this man, Jesus, who's seemingly no longer in the tomb. And in that story, things are revealed to him. And finally, he goes into a room where the disciples are gathered, and he sees Jesus, and his mind is confused. And Jesus says these words, what do you seek? And he says, I seek peace. And so the story unfolds from there, that he then becomes slowly a follower of this risen Christ. This morning, you are expected to believe in something that goes against all scientific knowledge. Goes against everything that most of you will, I would say 100% of us, unless we see a miracle, will ever experience in our lives. When my dad passed away, he more or less had a heart attack and dropped dead just outside of Maunders. We had the call, and I've mentioned it before, I remember well that I was feeding up stock and just coming out with my son Matthew, and I could see two torches coming towards me in the farmyard, and we were wondering where he got to. We'd sent, sort of, mum had gone and looked, and the likewise, and there was two policemen walking towards me, and just to say, we think it's your father. And so then we went through, and some of you have done this, I'm sure you've done this in your own lives, and then so we had to go and to see the body, and there was my dad laid out in the ambulance station, and he was gone. That was what hit me as soon as I saw his face, as soon as I saw him there. He was no longer with us. He was gone. His spirit was gone. And in one way, there was a sadness, but in another way, as a believer on this resurrection morning, my hope and my assurance is where he was, where his spirit was. Did I stop and say to mum, I think we should lay hands on my dad now and believe that he's going to bring him back to life? No, I didn't. No, it never even crossed our minds to do that. And the story we're expected to believe is a challenge to your very thought, minds, and beliefs, to believe that somebody could come back to life. And I do want to throw that out this morning, because even for Peter, it said this: Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look in. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Okay? And we would all be with Peter. We would split down the middle, because men, we would be with Peter. Ladies, you saw, you heard, and you seemed to believe because you came back with the news. You said, he's risen. But men, we were like, oh, I don't know about this. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it can be possibly true. Peter was on that journey of, I need to take this in. I need to try to understand what's happened. The tomb was guarded. We went nowhere near it. We were scared to death to go near it because we could get arrested. Who else could have rolled the stone away? Who else could have taken the body? Is there something else happening? You know, all these wondering questions that would have went through Peter's mind and the other disciples who were just thinking, I've heard the news, but I don't know quite what it really means. I'm not 100% sure. I can't quite grasp the news. I was just looking at this whole concept of resurrection, okay? And N.T. Wright, some of you will know him, one of the points he makes about the resurrection, he says, how much is written on the cross? There's volumes written on the cross, but not so much written on the resurrection. And yet he said, without the resurrection, the cross is a meaningless symbol. Okay? And there are other faiths that have places where the leaders of the faith are buried, but in this Christian faith, there's not just an empty cross, there's an empty tomb. And for each one of us this morning, maybe we like to look at the cross, but we don't always want to look at the tomb, the empty tomb, okay? And that unbelievable challenge to us, against all natural laws of nature, that somebody could come back to life. And our challenge must have been as big now as it was for Peter. Even though he loved him, he'd failed him, he knew him. And then he had to grasp that the tomb was empty. Then he had to try to come to terms what could have happened. And again, sometimes in the church, maybe people are at different journeys of understanding who Christ is, who this resurrected Christ is, and where they are, and where you may be on your journey. And for some people, you may be like Mary. You just absolutely, yeah, I know it's true. It's in my heart. I've experienced this resurrection power. I have no doubts. But for some of you this morning, you might still be on that little bit of a journey with Peter. And doubt isn't always a bad thing, where you're just struggling. You're not absolutely sure. You're still trying to grasp what that means. There's a church in America that I came across just last year, and it was interesting because a young girl in the church had collapsed and died. And so they made a public proclamation on Facebook and on the media that they were going to stand as a church and pray for that girl to be resurrected. Okay, so they took what they knew was the power of Christ's story on this day, and they placed it in the media, and they placed it in the church, and they placed it with some young child whom they wanted to pray that God would bring that child back to life again. And it says this, we're asking for prayer. We believe in a Jesus who died and conclusively defeated every grave, holding the keys to resurrection power. We need it in our little Olive Alanya, who stopped breathing yesterday and has been pronounced dead by the doctors. We're asking for bold, unified prayers from the global church to stand with us in belief that he will raise this little girl back to her life. Her time here is done, and it is our time to believe boldly and with confidence and by wielding the name of Jesus that his name would bring this little girl back to life. It didn't work. It didn't work. But I wonder how many of each one of us this morning would be willing to stand with somebody and pray that prayer. Can you see where I'm coming from? How easy we accept the story, but today, can we believe in that resurrected power in all aspects of our lives? We can see that in relationships, how God can renew things. We can see that in the way in which he can heal people. But I wonder, I really do wonder, and I challenge myself this, could I pray that prayer that God could bring somebody back to life this morning? From the Old Testament, we read how Elijah did this. And then another book in another Old Testament prophet did the same, where he brought somebody back to life. And then we see how Jesus brought Lazarus back to life and a couple other characters. And then we read how Paul in the early church, there was a young man listening to him. He fell out of the third story window and was dead. And Paul went down and prayed for him. and he brought him back to life. Resurrected power that was there in the early church. But for me, I think, wow, that's something. Can I actually believe in that resurrected power? Can I comfortably believe that God's son Jesus rose again and can change things, but do I believe he can physically do things? I would honestly have to say it's a challenge in my own life. And maybe God would put us in a position where that would happen. And there are stories of that happening, even now across this world, in other countries where God has brought people back to life. But that is the power of resurrection here this morning, okay? That is the power that the disciples were going to experience. And as they journeyed on that road to Emmaus, they met Jesus. And Jesus warmed their hearts and he explained everything of why he'd come back to life. He explained what the Old Testament was about and how his purpose had been fulfilled. And how death had been overcome, but how new life and his kingdom on earth could start. And even for them, they were strangely warmed. And they come back and they say there, suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. And he said, "The Lord has risen, and risen indeed." And Peter says this word because after he's gone through that period of unsure who and what has happened, Jesus appears to him and he knows that he is risen. Now, it was fine for the early church for Peter to say that in one way. It was fine for the disciples of over 500 that would go on and see this risen Lord. How much more difficult was it for the church in Corinth when Paul says to them, "You no longer believe in the resurrection. It doesn't make sense. It's something that you've disregarded because you've been asked to believe something that you just can't believe. You think it's just impossible." So if we're struggling sometimes to believe it, we're not alone. Okay? But we do know that Christ was risen from the dead. And we do know that same power that was there on that resurrection morn was given to the early church and has been given to each of us on this church this morning, okay? So my question for us, each one of us this morning, is we're excited by this news, we're ignited by this news, and how do we live by this news? And that's in our prayer life, in our relationships, both in the church, and the church is as much a challenge as anything on this resurrected morn, as outside of the church. Can we see, hear, and believe this resurrected story this morning in our own lives? Can we pray those prayers that we believe God will do something that is a resurrected fact in somebody's life this morning? Peter took his time until he saw Jesus, and then he knew he was alive. I'm not sure if any one of you here have seen him. I'm sure some of you have met him, either in his word, even in your own quiet time, or even through somebody else's conversation with you this morning. But we are here this morning to celebrate the resurrected Christ, whose power, I believe, even I struggle at times, could bring somebody back to life. So as you leave this morning, I'm sure you're going to go, "Well, that was a bit far for me to be pushed," and I'm pushing myself on that, to think that that could still happen. But that's the power of the resurrected Christ that's here with us this morning. We sang those lovely, and the worship band led us in those lovely hymns. But we need to have that faith, and we need to hold on to that cross, that empty cross, but also need to look into that empty tomb and to say that Christ is risen, he's risen indeed, and Christ's power to change the world happened on that day, but it happens now, tomorrow and the day afterwards, because it's power that he brings to each one of us, power over sin, but power over death. And as we know, sin brought death into humanity. And when you've got power over sin, you have life. And that's what this resurrection morning brings for each one of us. And I do pray, as Jesus said to his disciples, why are you frightened? Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. And I pray these words for each one of us, that you would, that we would touch him, and that we would make sure that our faith is not in a ghost, not in a piece of wood, not in a piece of paper, not in an emotional outcome, but that our faith is in the one who speaks life.